Western Hemisphere, we've talked about our covenant with God so much that it's overshadowed our covenant with each other. So now, when there's no covenant, there's a lack of trust.
There's a lack of trust. You got it? Testing, 1, 2. All right, good, good. A lack of trust. Y'all going to excuse me. We're going to let wires hang tonight because I don't feel like rerunning all this stuff. So we're going to let this wire hang, and I'm going to just stick it right here. All right? You got it? All right, good. So there develops a lack of trust. All right? And when that lack of trust develops, now we find out that we try to create our own pathway to God without having relationships and fellowship with each other. All right. So now understanding, this is why sin creeps into the church. Because when you have all these different doctrines floating around, everybody coming up with their own revelation, everybody has their own agenda, divide and conquer takes place. See, when you can if you want to conquer anything or anybody, you got to get them in confusion. Do you know the easiest person to overtake is a person that can't control their emotions? Why? Because their thoughts going all over the place. So when the thoughts going all over the place, then you can, in your calm self, can manipulate them. That's what Satan has been doing to the body of Christ. Because of covenant, because we have no rules of engagement, because we have no single agenda, Satan can interrupt anytime he get ready and stop what he wants. Is that making sense? So tonight we're going to define covenant. We're going to define covenant. You know, it's very important that you understand covenant. Without covenant, nothing can be established, nothing can be done. So covenant takes covenant will cause you to walk in Galatians 2:20. Let's go to Galatians 2:20 and we'll start off there. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, on the count of three, we're going to read this together. I want to make sure everybody's there. Those that watch by internet, get Galatians 2:20, and we're going to read this together because this is very important. If you do not understand this, you will not be able to walk in covenant. Verse 20, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, read. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yet not I. You find in the church, people cannot grab the yet not I principle. They can only understand what God is saying to me. Can you imagine what would have happened to the children of Israel if they would not have seen Moses as a deliverer? Because Moses actually came with some crazy instructions. He told him, go get the fattest calf you have, get the best one, the first one, older, get the best one, and I want you to kill it, take the blood, and put over the doorpost, over your mantle, of your door. They had never done that before. This was some crazy instructions. This was some crazy instructions. Now I'm finna teach you something about covenant and trust. You have to ask yourself this question: why did the children of Israel follow those instructions? You have to ask yourself that question: why did they follow those instructions? Because you got to remember now, these were the same people that was complaining five plagues earlier, telling Moses, "You should have left us alone, because before you came, everything was okay. You in slavery, everything okay." That's what they were saying. So now what happened between that moment and when Moses came with these instructions? Experience based on what miracles were performed by the hands of Moses. Those children of Israel began to experience miracles that happened by the hand of Moses. So they knew that somebody had to be with Moses. What's my point? You can never come in a covenant with somebody who does not have the hand of God upon them. You shouldn't follow no leader that has no fruit that shows that the hand of God is upon them. Why? Because you're going to waste your time. Now, here we go. One of the first characteristics of a leader that has the hand of God upon them is that they don't need you. You need them. Moses didn't need the children of Israel. He was free. But the children of Israel, listen to me, that the children of Israel needed Moses. So we must realize that it's not the leader that needs us. We need the leader. We need the anointing, the grace, the impartation that is on that particular leader. Is this making sense? So if we don't come to a point to where yet not I, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I need to accomplish. It's not about my ministry. It's not about my giftings. It's not about it's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's about what God wants to do through us. Is this making sense? See, most churches and people in this Western Hemisphere cannot grab this yet not I principle because they want to be seen. Why do you think the first let me tell you something. The first thing that most ministers do when they kind of halfway get together, they want to get a television broadcast. Now, everybody don't need to be on TV. Y'all know the broadcast I'm talking about. I ain't calling no names. You brought that up yourself. You know you seen them telling broadcasts. You say, why do these people come on TV? Because they hadn't grabbed the yet not I principle. Because they see somebody else on TV, they figure they ought to be on TV. They hadn't asked God, hadn't got instructions from him, hadn't got permission from who they submitted to. Is this making sense? On page 59, I want to read this because this is very specific. I want you to highlight this because you will see this again. I said you will see this again. I said you will see this again. A covenant is defined, very first paragraph in the chapter. A covenant is defined as the declaration of an oath of allegiance through an agreed document with a fixivity of law and absolutes with a view to implement a system of sanctions to provide social continuity and government through elected representatives for accurate implementation of the said process. So simply what they're saying is there are some rules that are set in place that we agree to accomplish an agenda, and the rules are overseen by somebody who's been elected. And then I'm going to add this to it, by God. A covenant is the declaration of an oath of allegiance. It is verbal. It is intentionalized to those who agree on the core value and absolutes. There is a set value, purpose, destiny, or intention that the parties involved agree to work together to fulfill. A covenant is governed by a fixivity of law and absolutes. It is not a careless getting together or a casual coming together. That's important. It is not a careless getting together or a casual coming together. There are rules of engagement, both said and progressive, that established on a journey to fulfill the agreed purpose. It is not a careless. So now, watch this. This is why you shouldn't join yourself to anybody readily. You need to find out what they're about. That's why they should be courtship. That's why this getting married in 1 week stuff. I'm kind of shaky on that one. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm kind of shaky on it. Why? Because you don't know. You don't know. So watch this now. So Paul said this. Watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I love the Apostle Paul, and he said this. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Because Paul said something. Paul gave people permission to check him out, to see if he was an apostle or not. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. He gave people permission to check him out. Now, here's the thing about Paul. Here's the thing about somebody who's real. Here's about a leader who's real, who's true to what God has asked him to do. They're not afraid to be checked out because they have nothing to hide. Watch how Paul opened his chapter 9, this first verse. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. That's Paul telling him, hey, listen, I know who I am. I know who God called me to be. Now watch with verse 11. We're going to skip all this and go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal thing? Now watch this. Paul giving people permission to check him out. And a lot of preachers want to read this scripture, but they don't read it in the proper context. There's key words in this scripture that allows Paul to be checked out. And Paul opens himself up to be checked out. He says this, if we have sown unto you spiritual things. So now take the flip side of that. Paul's saying, if I have not sown unto you spiritual things, then I have no right to reap of your carnal things. So Paul was simply saying, if what I have taught you and told you and imparted to you, if it's causing your life to be successful, then I have a right to reap of your success that you're having. But Paul said, if I'm not causing your success, then I have no right to partake of the success you're having. That's Paul opening himself up to be checked out. Why? Because Paul's saying, if what I'm telling you ain't working for you, don't give me nothing. Don't pay attention to me. Don't follow me. But if what I am telling you is causing you to be successful, then I have a right to reap, or I have a right to impart into you. Is this making sense? So that's why you have to check out who God is connecting you to. You don't do it suddenly. Why you don't do it suddenly? You don't do it suddenly because, number one, you don't know the rules of engagement yet. You don't know the rules of engagement. For instance, if I come to Justin's house, I can't just bust in the man's house and just take a seat. I might be sitting in his favorite chair. I got to understand his rules of engagement. There's a seat in the apostle house. There's a seat. And he don't have it marked. He don't have his name on it. He's not even overly protective of it. But it's just when it don't take long that when you walk into his living room, you know which chair it is. How we know which chair it is? Because we walk in and we don't see nobody else sitting in that chair. Why? Because there was somebody that was before us that knew the rules of engagement and was able to teach us the rule. Do you see how important covenant is with each other? See, so now if I don't want to be in covenant with anybody, if I don't want nobody to to help me learn the rules of engagement, then it's going to be very tough for me to get a foothold of covenant with my leader. Am I making sense? So there are rules of engagement to the house. You can't just run up in nobody's house. You can't just run up into a ministry and expect you're going to do what you want to do. There are rules of engagement. I have to first honor the house. I have to honor the rules. I have to honor the leadership. Honor the rules of engagement. When I begin to honor the rules of engagement, that's when doors begin to open for me. Most people go in and they think the talent that they have is going to make room for you. Your talent ain't going to ever make room for you. It is your honor that makes room for you. So you can get that script out of your mind about your gift makes room for you. That ain't talking about your talent. That's talking about your money. So that ain't talking about your gift and you can do whatever well. That ain't what that's talking about. Honor is what makes room for you. And of course, your gift make room. That's a part of honor. Are you seeing this? So it's okay to check out the rules of engagement. It's okay to, this is why in LTMA, people have to go through the interview process. You got to make sure this is what you want. You got to make sure we land out. This is what we expect. This is what we expect to happen. These are the rules of engagement that Apostle Thompson laid down. How he laid those down. Why did he lay those rules of engagement down? He laid the rules of engagement down based on his experience and how promotion came into his life. So now, if you can't handle those rules of engagement, then ain't no sense in coming to covenant. Because why? This ain't no casual coming together. Is this making sense? So it's not just a casual coming together. It's just not, oh, I felt good that night when he ministered. I need to get with them. Because you never make a decision based on how you feel, on your emotions. You have to make your decision based on what's really there. Do we have rules of engagement? Is there an agenda? Do I see other people that's already attached to this agenda? Do I see them progressing? See, if I don't see nobody else progressing, why I'm a John? Why I'm a connected person? Why I'm a coming with that person? I don't care how good a mouthpiece they have. I don't care how good they can harmonize. I don't care how good they can put a sermon together or how they can break down the scriptures. If ain't nobody else around them is progressing, then what's the purpose? I love this. Covenant provides the protection and security that the parties will be honorable and accountable to each other. That's what covenant does. It provides the protection and security that the parties will be honorable and accountable to each other. What is accountability or accountable? The state of being firmly attached to someone. There are prepared places of restraint, restrictions, checks, and balances as sanction on each other as the boundaries for accurate relationship role functions. This is important. This is important to understand that in a covenant, you can't just do what you want to do. You can't just behave how you want to behave. There are rules and sanctions in place that will guide our behavior. A covenant of honor provides permanence for what begins and assures each of the parties involved that it will be carried out with all costs. Listen to this. Covenant quickens the relationship until it bears the fruit of its purpose. A covenant will help make a relationship come alive until the goal is accomplished or the agenda is accomplished. That's what covenant does. Other words, I ain't leaving till we get this done. The other party say, I'm not leaving till we get this done. Look on page 60. here are the accurate principles of covenant. The author begins to talk about Jonathan and David, which is a very beautiful story on covenant. But there's some things that we're going to pull out of this that you're going to learn about Jonathan and David. Now, let's set this up. For those of you who don't know, Jonathan is the son of Saul. And after a while, Saul is going to turn against David. So I just want to set it up just so you see where we headed. Jonathan and David was in covenant, and Jonathan's father is coming against David. All right. The number one accurate principle of covenant is that hearts must be connected through the frequency of the spirit. Other words, this is not a relationship based on flesh connection. this is not based on this person is nice to me, or this particular leader knows how to speak to me every Sunday morning. This particular leader goes out his way to tell me good morning. Jonathan and David's heart were connected in the spirit. What that means? That means that they had a common agenda from God that caused them to be connected. So if there's no common cause from God to be connected, the relationship won't last. In covenant, the hearts of men are connected by word and spirit expression. These words resonate in each other's heart and are treasured. Their hearts feel the intensity of the frequency and are aligned almost instantaneously. It just resonates. It's not based on what the person has said. It's based on the essence of what is being said. I hope you get the difference in that. It's not based on what is said, it's based on the essence of what's being said. What is the power behind the words? Not just that it sounds good, but that it produces good. Number two, knowing true affection, love, and care for the person. Now, this is real. You can't tell me you're in covenant with somebody if you don't genuinely care for the person. Not what they can do for you, but you genuinely care for the person. Do you genuinely care for your pastor? Not because your pastor can preach you out of a problem or that your pastor can preach you out of a situation, but if your pastor comes this Sunday and nothing he says resonates with you, do you still love him? Do you still love him? When your pastor comes and does something that is contrary to what you think ought to be done, do you still love him? Why? Because you have a genuine care for the person. Jonathan genuinely cared for David. David genuinely cared for Jonathan. Three, covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Saul was very manipulative. David was covenant-minded. Saul was selfish. Saul only wanted David because he can kill Goliath. Well, he easily could have been in covenant with David, and David, the grace that was on David could have covered him. But because he wanted to control David and control the grace that was on David's life at his pleasure, then he began to try to manipulate David, and that's when David had to separate himself. Are you seeing this? It's not manipulative or selfish. You can't come into covenant because of what somebody else can do for you. I always get this, man. I got a daughter, 15, she make it 16. I'm teaching her right now. Don't come to me with this list of what you want out of a man. Don't come to me with that. I told, don't come to me with that. I tell the younger, don't come to me with a list. I go, why you ain't married? Well, he got to be this, 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 and this. So my next question is, what do you bring to the table? Because covenant is not what that person can do for me, but what I can do for that person. Vice versa, these guys be coming, well, she got to be this. She got to look like this. She got to have this. She got... Dude, what are you bringing to the table? What are you willing to do? You ain't got no job. What are you talking about? How can you make these demands? You ain't got no job. You ain't bringing nothing. You ain't sawing nothing that you can do. Some people are selfish and manipulative. What have you done for me lately? You cannot survive in the apostolic government of God with that mentality. Because sometimes they will go a moment, ain't nothing being done for you. You the one doing all the giving. Number four, right? Covenant needs two parties in total commitment to walk together. Amos 3:3, you don't have to turn there. It says, can two walk together unless they all agree? Jonathan and David made a covenant with each other and renewed it in the times of testings and trials. Look at 1 Samuel in the book. We can read that. I don't feel like turning there. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies. Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life. As for the agreement of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever. That's some strong words. That's some strong words. Otherwise, he said, no matter what happened, we're not separating. We're not going to let anything come between us. The only thing between you and I is God himself. Number five, this is my favorite one. This is my favorite one. Number five. Covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. People scared of this word sacrifice. People scared of the word sacrifice. Why are people scared of the word sacrifice? Because sacrifice costs. Sacrifice costs you something. If you do not have the spirit of sacrifice, if your mentality, your attitude is that you're not willing to sacrifice anything, then you will not be effective in covenant. No matter what relationship you're in, no matter what, listen a minute, no matter what relationship you're in, if you're not willing to sacrifice, now, let's think about sacrifice. Sacrifice is not something that you can easily do. Sacrifice ain't really something that you prepare to do. Sacrifice can only take place when it's something you wanted to do and you have to give that up so you can get this done. The true ultimate sacrifice that was ever made. Do you know that Jesus really didn't want to die? See, people don't talk about that. Jesus really didn't want. He said, God, if this cup can be removed from me, Lord, let it be. But he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. That's sacrifice. That sacrifice. Jesus like, Lord, look, can you do this another way? Because I'm really not looking forward to going to the cross. Lord, I love you and I obey you, but you, God Almighty, is there another way? Can you figure this out some other kind of way? Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but that's sacrifice. Other words, you want things to go one way, but then God wants things to go this way. Are you willing to give this up for this to happen? That's the question. See, if you don't have the spirit of sacrifice, If you don't have that attitude, then you will not be successful in any covenant that you're in. None. Watch this. This is not a give and take relationship. Watch this. The first statement under that, I want y'all to underline this. This is not a give and take relationship, but a give and wait to receive relationship. Now watch this. Watch what Jonathan did. Jonathan surrendered his future destiny, including the rights to the throne of David. He gave his sword and became defenseless. David is now responsible to protect his life. He gave him his money belt, and now David must rise to meet Jonathan's needs. Jonathan's willingness to give up his rights and what he possessed to David consolidated the relationship of covenant. You got to listen to me now. It was in every bit of Jonathan's right not to give David nothing. He didn't have to. He gave David his robe. He didn't have to give David his robe. He gave David his royal robe. Other words, signifying, David, I believe that you're supposed to be king of Israel. I'm in line. Come on, I see this now. See this. I'm in line to become the next king of Israel. But because I believe in your agenda and what God has showed you so clearly, he showed it to me, that I'm willing to give up what's rightfully mine so that you can achieve what God has called you to do. If that ain't the spirit of sacrifice, I don't know what is. By birth, it was his right. He was born to the king of Israel. It was his right. But because he believed in David and what God called David to do and the agenda that God had given David, that he was willing to give up his royal right to be king. Genesis, the 14th chapter. Turn there, because I want you to see this. This is very important. Talking about the spirit of sacrifice. Covenant has always has to be fortified with sacrifice. Listen to me. If there's no sacrifice, if you're in a relationship with somebody that's not willing to sacrifice for you, you're in the wrong relationship. Covenant don't say, I'm doing this because you can do this for me. Covenant say, I do this, period. I'm not going to do this because you can do this. That's the world system way. The world system way comes with all these agreements and contracts. If you do this, then I'm going to do this. If you complete the work, then I'm going to pay you. We have to be like that with the world. We have to be like that with the system. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, when we're given instruction, when God gives us instruction, God gives us opportunities, we ought to do them because we can. It's not a give and receive. It's I'm going to do this, and God is my rewarder. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. So therefore, I don't serve Apostle Thompson looking for Apostle Thompson to repay me. I serve Apostle Thompson and God. I hope y'all see this. He don't owe me anything. He don't owe me no church. He don't owe me no territory. Thank you, sir. He don't owe me anything. He don't owe me nothing. All I am owed is the opportunity to serve.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
I hope y'all seeing this.
Yes.
See, now watch this. Let's think about this. Let's think about this. You have your spiritual leader who is a man or a woman. They're human. And without the endowment of God, they're limited. Right? And so the grace that is on their lives really just opened the door for those that participate with the agenda that God gave them to achieve certain things, right? So without the grace, they're limited. That's a fact, right? Here it is. I have a God who is unlimited that is giving me instructions to serve. So you ask yourself, who do you want to repay you? Think about that. Who do you want to repay you? The person that is only endowed because of the grace that comes from God, or the person who comes, or the person who has unlimited grace? The God who owns everything. So we should serve. That's why the spirit of sacrifice is important. Serve without any ulterior motives. Serve understanding that my spiritual leader is not the one responsible for my reward. Ye have need of patience, Hebrews 10, 38. Ye have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. Is this making sense? But you can't get there without the spirit of sacrifice. It's so sad to see people how they're not willing to sacrifice. They're not willing to put something they desire to do on a back burner to achieve a greater good. Jonathan surrendered his future. Listen to this. This is how much trust that Jonathan had in David. His future was already set. What his future was? His future was set to be king. But he surrendered his future to David. I want you to grab this. I want you to grab this. When he surrendered his future to David, it made his future, we're going to see further on, it made his future, I'm getting ahead of myself, he made his future so bright that even his offspring benefited. Mephibosheth benefited from his loyalty and covenant to David. I hope y'all see this. See, covenant is a generational thing. There are things you're doing today that's going to establish your offspring. There are decisions that you make today that are going to help cover your offspring and their weaknesses. Genesis, the 14th chapter. How much time I have left? What time is it? Anybody know what time? 7:28? About 7 minutes. Thank you, ma'am. We're going to close here in Genesis, the 14th chapter. The latter part of the 14th chapter, to give you a little background on what's going on, Abraham just went and fought a battle to recover some stuff. And he won the battle, and they wanted to give him some stuff. He said, no, I'm not taking nothing from y'all, not even a shoe latchet. I want you to give it to the men who fought with me. Let him have the stuff. But I'm not taking nothing from y'all, lest y'all say that y'all have made me rich. God is the only one that's made me rich. But we go to, we looked at now that Abraham is getting ready to do something that is very strange, that hadn't been seen. Two things I want you to notice. What Abraham is about to do became law. But at this particular time, it was not law. So now there has to be another spirit motivating Abraham to do this. And it wasn't mandatory. See, this is key. In covenant, and the apostolic, the number one characteristic that you must have is you must be willing. You must be willing. Isaiah 119 says, if ye be obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Come on, Bible students. If you be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What happened? Willing. Listen to me today. Willing and obedient. It's not good enough to be just obedient. You have to be willing. Willing controls your heart. Obedience controls your body. How many of you have children, you gave them some instructions, and you know they didn't want to do it, but they did it anyway? Did you give them credit for it? Why you didn't give them credit for doing it when they didn't want to do it? Because they didn't understand why you were telling them to do it. See, when you're willing and obedient, that means your heart and your mind was right, and therefore you did it, and you did it wholeheartedly. That means you could be trusted. See, God knew he could trust Abram, because Abram, without nobody telling him, gave a tenth of everything he owned to God. Another precedent was set, a little side journey. You notice that he didn't give it directly to God, did he? Hebrews 7th chapter. Because nobody wants to deal with this. Why, that man, he gonna mess with my money. That woman, she gonna mess with my money. Why I gotta give it to them? Well, there's precedent been set. A precedent has been set on purpose, because God knew there people could be coming up and won't know, well, I won't give my money to God. Okay, just give it to him then. Give it to him. Give your money to God. Go ahead and give it to him. Find him and give it to him. Give it to him. Go ahead and give it to him. Just find him. Find him and give it to him. Now, mind you now, God told Moses, if you see me, turn your back, because I don't want you to see me, because you can't handle me.
That's right.
So I want you to go ahead and find him.
That's right.
Go ahead and find him and give it to him, because as soon as you see him, you're not going to be here no longer. So go ahead and find it. There's a precedent that was set. Watch Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that died receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. As I may so say, Levi also who received tithe, paid tithe in Abraham. You see that? Now watch this. Go to verse 1. What it says, for this Melchizedek, right? For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. That's Genesis 14. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Talking about the spirit of sacrifice. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Verse 3 is very important. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. This is the description of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? They all won. So here it is. God became flesh just to receive tithes. In the 14th chapter of Genesis, this priest that Abraham met was God becoming flesh for one particular reason: to receive tithe of Abraham. And Abraham responded by sacrificing a tenth of all he owned to show God, I'm with you. So a precedent was set. Abraham had to have this. See, watch this. You're going to see here say this. You're going to hear various instructors say this over and over. Some things can be taught. Got to be caught. Some things you got to decide, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to internalize. This is what I'm going to make concrete. This is what I'm going to do. I don't care what nobody else say. I don't care what nobody else do. This is what I'm going to do. The spirit of sacrifice has to be caught. If you do not catch the spirit of sacrifice, you will have issue with covenant with anybody. Not just your spiritual leaders, but you're going to have trouble in your house. You're going to have trouble on your job. Here's a person who true to covenant says, I'm not afraid to be best over because God is my source. Because when God is your source, you can't get messed over. When God is the person who's responsible for paying you, if God is the one responsible for rewarding you, then no weapon. Are y'all seeing this? So having the spirit of sacrifice does not make you weak. It does not make you a candidate to be messed over. It does not make you inferior in any way. The spirit of sacrifice positions you so that God can see what's in your heart. Are you seeing this? See, so without the spirit of sacrifice, covenant is ineffective. Have you ever tried to get a group of people to work together who really didn't want to work together? We've all been in that situation. It is hell, hell, hell. You try to get a group of people to work together who really don't want to work together. How about this? How to get a group of people? Oh, we got this. How about when you try to get your family members to plan something together? Oh, nice. Oh Jesus. First of all, they don't trust each other. But you don't trust each other. She ain't going to pay nothing. Look at her. She ain't going to pay nothing. He ain't gonna try to get over. He ain't going to pay nothing. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not working with this. I'm not getting that. Because there's no trust. There's no spirit of sacrifice. No covenant. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand. Let's go over these real quick again, and I'll continue the next time we're together. You must have, the hearts must be connected to the frequency of the spirit. There must be true affection, love, and care for the person. Covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Two parties have to be together in order to be in covenant. They have to commit to walk together. And then covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. When we come back, we'll cover covenant paves the way for each other to come into the fulfillment of God's destiny for our lives. Any deficiency in our present covenant relationship can manifest in the next generation. That is powerful. All right. So we're going to cover those two and go into the accurate mental attitudes of covenant. You all have a good night.